This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stachow. The Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh has been going through some big changes. It opened up a new nature research center last April that includes the Daily Planet, a one-of-a-kind multimedia theater, and laboratories where visitors can talk to scientists. Yesterday, the museum announced the appointment of a new director. Geologist Emlyn Koster takes the job. His first official day, January 28th, but as we continue Science Week here on the State of Things, Emlyn Koster joins us now by phone to talk about his recent appointment. Welcome. Good to have you on the program.
Thank you. Good afternoon.
Congratulations. You have run a number of top-flight museums in the U.S. and Canada, including the Ontario Science Centre, which is an amazing facility. How does the Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh compare?
Amazing resource is unique and very progressive. I indeed have had the chance to be at the helm of three very progressive museums, a new natural history museum about the history of life on Earth through the fossil record in the Alberta Badlands, and then, as you said, the Ontario Science Centre, which was a Canadian centennial facility that is remarkable in its scope and innovation, and then Liberty Science Centre opposite Lower Manhattan, which is went through a remarkable transformation and renewed all of its exhibitions and did and still does some remarkable programs. But this Museum of Natural Sciences, in all of its parts, including, of course, the new feature Nature Research Center, I'm drawn to it professionally, and I'm thrilled to be in this position because it what makes it so progressive is it really is about asking and answering fundamental questions about the natural world. What do we know, how do we know it, and what's happening today, and giving a chance for visitors of all ages and stages of learning to immerse themselves in those questions. It's really a phenomenal resource, and it's been a benchmark development in the development of museums, you know, as a field. So how thrilling is it for me to be here? Tremendous.
One of the unique features of this museum is the fact that there will be working scientists in the museum who visitors will have access to. How unique is that happening anywhere else?
Well, the forerunner of that probably is in museums that deal with paleontology or the fossil record, the record of past life, where you can often look through windows into dinosaur preparation laboratories. That happened back when I was at the Royal Tyrrell Museum in Alberta in the late 80s. But to do it on this scale and for it to be so planned to be a major part of the experience, not only in paleontology, but in other traditional and cutting-edge areas of science, is certainly very innovative. And so the totality of this Nature Research Center, with its Daily Planet and its live science talks and the invitation for the visitor to step inside and get up close and personal with the process of research and the nature of research is truly phenomenal, and it's what makes this place, you know, be so much on the museum map of the world now.
Tell us more about the Daily Planet. That is a spectacular part of this new section of the museum.
Yes, well, I think the context of that in terms of the museum sector is that museums have traditionally have been pretty static places. And I'm talking about the true tradition of the museum field, you know, where you look through glass at specimens with labels and you don't touch and you certainly don't interact with very much. I mean, that was the classic start of museums before there were technologies and a much more diversified tool chest of techniques that the museum could employ. So if we sort of zoom fast forward to the Daily Planet, within the context of the museum, not only is it an externally, architecturally prominent, stunning feature with the image of the Earth, the Americas and the Atlantic, you know, sort of on street front, but then inside, you've got this multi-level theater with a three-story theater which can beam both content that is prepared and content that is live from around the world, including major special events, going to researchers where they're doing their research in the field. And all of this content, as I'm beginning to know, is available live to all schools across the state. So it's an on-site, sort of off-site online resource, and it's truly unique. I have had it confirmed that there is no other technology like this of any museum, not only in North America, but around the world. So Raleigh and North Carolina, and this State Museum of Natural Sciences is really, to be absolutely true, leading edge.
You have remarkable credentials yourself, and you are taking over for Betsy Bennett, who essentially built this museum with her own hands, a force of nature around here, and was absolutely the spearhead and impetus behind the development of this new section of the museum. What is it like to follow in such big footsteps?
Well, they are big footsteps, but as I remarked yesterday in the opening events, you know, how special it is and how unusual it is for the outgoing director and the incoming director to be side by side as colleagues as we are. We've known each other for more than a decade, and often there is a gap between outgoing and incoming. But Betsy and I have been meeting this morning, and she's a dear colleague, and I'm as excited about succeeding her as she is apparently about me succeeding her. So, you know, it's a mutual collegial affair, and I have the greatest of admiration for her achievements. I mean, she was at the helm during the development and realization of the Nature Research Center, but her tenure here goes back to the opening of what's called the main building here, the part that opened in 2002, and then the Nature Research Center in 2004, and before that, the Museum of Forestry in Whiteville in 2000. So this has been a phenomenal cascade of opening upon opening, and now it's this immensely significant platform for education to illuminate the process of research and to inspire people about the natural world around them. So I'm pretty jazzed about being here. I think you can tell.
Emlyn, you don't sound like you're from around these parts. Born in Egypt, is that right? And then educated in Great Britain?
Yeah, that's right. My father was a squadron leader in the Royal Air Force, and that's where the youngest of three sons in the Costa family came into the world. The family would go back to Britain, and I grew up on the south coast, on the English Channel coast of the UK. And then I emigrated to Canada to do my PhD at the University of Ottawa. And for the next couple of decades, I would, after getting my PhD, I would be in academe. And then my geology was my first love, and was very pleased to become president of the Geological Association of Canada just at the time when I was transitioning to natural history and then science and technology museums. And then I moved south to New Jersey and to the New York area to be at the helm of the fairly new Liberty Science Center, which we would then take through a tremendous reincarnation of its own nature and purpose. So I have been very lucky and fortunate, and along the way have been an advocate, publishing and speaking a great deal about the shift of consciousness in the museum field to be much more about external relevance as much as it is about internal intellect.
Well, geology is a field that gets you outdoors quite a bit, and it keeps you in the sun and the elements. What attracted you to work in the museum?
In this museum or the museum
field? In general, how did you get in the field? Yeah.
Well, it goes back to the late 80s when I was engaged in field work in the UNESCO World Heritage Site called Dinosaur Provincial Park in Alberta, and I was also fortunate to be part of expeditions to the Gobi Desert, trying to understand how dinosaurs would have died and become fossilized, because that's a question that's pretty key. We see these specimens, you know, in all their grandeur in natural history museums, but oftentimes people don't think about how did this animal become buried and preserved, and that's the field of taphonomy, which was one of my specializations. So that put me sort of very much into the natural history field, and I knew and still know today a very close colleague, Dr. Philip Curry, who's one of the world's most famous dinosaur paleontologists. He's Canada Research Chair in Dinosaur Paleontology, and he made me aware that there was a huge new museum opening in the Badlands that would later get royal appellation from Queen Elizabeth. And I was, as they say, seemingly the right person at the right time at the right place, and that gave me an entree into the museum field. And then I quickly developed a passion for the greater potential of these unique kinds of institutions, because they truly are, to be more meaningful to the challenges and opportunities that we face in society and the environment. So they really know more about the continuity of time now, past, present, and dipping into the future, not just about the past and using a whole new tool chest, as I mentioned a few minutes ago of techniques that can engage people, you know, in the way they like these days, through a whole variety of methodologies.
So how do you see this museum's role in not only the Triangle, but in the state of North Carolina?
Well, as you and your listeners know, it is the most visited museum in North Carolina. It's the most used resource for schools in the museum world. So, and it has a much wider footprint than the state of North Carolina. It's the largest of its kind in the Southeast U.S., and I'm sure, as I remarked yesterday, it's going to quickly and continuously attract the attention of the movers and shakers in the museum field around the world. That's what happens. It's a small world, and people need to come and see innovations, and you know, they will undoubtedly start to emulate what's been done here. So it's a great influence in the museum field, but I think it now, with this immense platform of all these resources, and as I mentioned, asking and answering these questions of what do we know and how do we know it, and what's the pulse of what's happening today, you know, this place is set to have an even bigger impact in both the educational process, pre-K through 16, all ages of lifelong learning, and clearly, as I'm seeing and almost hearing from the office where I'm speaking to you from, you know, the place is full of hundreds, if not thousands, today of families and homeschoolers and people who are just and members who are using this facility time and again.
Emlyn, so, congratulations and welcome. Thank you so much for talking with us.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Emlyn Koster is the new director of the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences in Raleigh. You can find out more at naturalsciences.org. Just ahead, the harrowing story of Hedwig Cohn on the state of things from North Carolina Public Radio, a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.